Let me begin with a question. How many of you have ever been caught in a storm? Perhaps while fishing, camping, or driving through one of those sudden Australian downpours when the windscreen wipers simply cannot keep up. My paternal grandfather was a farmer. My maternal grandfather was a fisherman. And so was my uncle on my mother's side. And they one evening they went out to go fishing and they were caught in a storm in the Philippines. And big storm, and he drowned. He died. And I was probably just 7, 8 years old. Yeah. Now another question. How many of you have experienced a storm in life? Illness, grief, uncertainty, financial pressures, family struggles, or simply wondering what tomorrow might bring. My dear friends, we have all faced storms. Today's gospel reminds us that Jesus is present both in the storm and on the shore. His presence is our greatest assurance. As the Christian writer Corrie ten Boom once said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That is exactly what the disciples in the gospel this morning learned that night on the Sea of Galilee. Well, understanding the geography of the Sea of Galilee will help us appreciate this story. The Sea of Galilee lies almost 200 meters below sea level and is surrounded by steep hills. Cold air sweeping through the valleys often creates violent storms without warning. Even very experienced fishermen could be overwhelmed. So when Jesus came walking on the water in the darkest hour before dawn, the disciples were terrified. To be honest, if someone walked across Lake Macquarie this afternoon, most Australians would probably reach for their iPhone, either to call the police or to start filming, to start recording it. But have you noticed in the gospel this morning, Jesus' first words were not, "Why are you afraid?" Instead, Jesus said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Before Jesus calmed the sea, Jesus calmed first the hearts of the disciples. And that is how often God works. That is often how God works. As we all know, Peter has received a rather unfair reputation. People remember that Peter sank. I remember that he got out of the boat, while the other 11 disciples stayed on the boat where it was safe. Peter dared to trust. So let me ask you again, my dear friends, what is your boat at this time? What is your boat? Perhaps it's your comfort. Perhaps it's your daily routine. perhaps, probably as a church member, perhaps the belief that someone else will volunteer. Or maybe you might say, I have served long enough in this parish. But mind you, the church has never been built by spectators. It's always been built by contributors, by witnesses. It has always been built by disciples who were willing to take one more step in faith. This year, the Mothers Union celebrates 150 years of faithful service throughout the Anglican Communion. Not just the Anglican Church of Australia, because in Canada, where we came from, there's also Mothers Union in Canada. And it all began with one woman, Mary Sumner. Mary Sumner was not famous. She was not wealthy. She was not a gifted public speaker. As she was simply a parish priest's wife in a small English village named. Come on, Mother Shinyan. This is a trivia morning. In a small village named Old Alresbrook. As a young mother, she often felt inadequate and struggled with the challenges of raising children. She wondered whether she was doing enough. She wondered whether God could really use someone as ordinary as herself. Then one day, instead of remaining in the safety of her own boat, Mary Sumner invited a few local mothers to gather. Not because she had all the answers, but because she believed mothers could encourage one another in Christian faith and family life. It seemed like a very small step. But as we have experienced, God specializes in multiplying small acts of faith. And that little gathering grew into a mother's union, which today serves in more than 80 countries, supporting families, strengthening marriages, caring for vulnerable people, educating children, empowering women, and sharing the love of Christ with millions. Just imagine if Mary Sumner had thought, someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. Imagine if Mary Sumner allowed fear or self-doubt to keep her seated in her own boat. What an extraordinary reminder that God delights in using ordinary people who simply says, yes, go. Perhaps the next ministry that blesses generations has not yet begun because someone in this congregation has not yet taken that first faithful step. Remember, Peter begins to sing, but notice what Jesus does. I emphasize this in my reading. He reaches out immediately. Not after Peter apologized, not after Peter proved himself, but immediately. And that is what we call grace. Some of us maybe hesitate to serve because we think we are not capable enough, or we're not young enough, we're not healthy enough, we're not confident enough. And yet, throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, and throughout the history of the church, God was consistently chosen ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And the story this morning concludes in Genesaret. People brought all who were sick, simply hoping they might touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak. And Matthew this morning tells us all who touched it were healed. All who touched it were healed. The healing was not in the fabric. The healing was in Christ. His compassion touch restored lives. His compassionate touch restored lives. Today, my dear friends, Christ continues His healing ministry through His church. Sometimes through our prayers, sometimes through our listening, through our active listening, sometimes through our practical acts of kindness, even random acts of kindness, sometimes through a warm welcome at the door on a Sunday morning, sometimes through preparing our morning tea in our parish hall, or visiting someone in aged care home, someone who's lonely, or singing in our band, or serving in parish council, or helping with making music, or just maintaining our church grounds, or quietly praying behind the scenes. Those names of the people who are listed on our prayer request list every week. Every ministry becomes Christ's touch to someone else. Friends, this parish exists for 71 years. This parish exists far more than holding Sunday services. We are here, each of us, not just me, to proclaim the gospel, to baptize, to teach, to comfort the grieving, to visit the lonely, to care for those in need, to be a beacon of hope in this Kotara community and in the wider community and in the surrounding suburbs of Newcastle. But none of this happens by accident. It happens because faithful people step out of the boat. Some offer their gifts, some offer their experience, some offer their practical skills, some offer their prayers, some offer generous financial support. And every one of those gifts, every one of your gifts matter. As Anglicans, we understand that stewardship is not merely about maintaining buildings and grounds or balancing our budgets. Stewardship is about participating in God's mission. Everything we have, whether it's our time, our talents, our possessions, or our finances, these are all first God's gift to us. When we give generously, we are saying, Lord, thank you. I trust you with my life. Of the Church of the Good Shepherd is very blessed with faithful leadership through our wardens, through our parish councils. But ministry is never the work of one person or one group alone. Healthy parishes flourish. I will use the magic word on the dice. Flourish. Healthy parishes flourish when every member recognizes that they have a part to play. If God has blessed us, perhaps today, God is inviting each one of us to ask, each of us to ask ourselves, Lord, what next step are you calling me to take? Perhaps it's joining ministry. perhaps increasing our financial giving as an act of thanksgiving, perhaps mentoring someone younger, perhaps becoming involved with a mother's union or another parish outreach, perhaps simply saying, how can I help? It's like this morning, probably it's my first time to vacuum this parish. I came at 8 o'clock and I said, oh, looks like the church has not been back. So I simply got the vacuum at the back and then vacuum you before service. Because our green face training in the army says, just make it happen. Make it happen. Just a little boy whispered during church, Dad, if the sermon gets any longer, will we have to pay overtime? His father replied, no, son, no. We'll just have another connection. Thankfully, God's economy does not run on overtime. It runs on willing hearts. God's economy doesn't run on overtime. It runs on our willing hearts. So let me leave you with three questions we have been reflecting on for a week. This was published in the Pew Bulletin last week. Where is Jesus asking you to step out of your boat? How has Christ helped you throughout the storms of life? And lastly, how can you become His healing hands in this parish and in the wider community this week? My dear friends, like Peter, may we trust Him enough to step out. Like Mary Sumner, may we discover that one faithful yes can bless generations. Like the people of Gennesaret, may we reach out to Christ in faith. And may this parish continue under the faithful leadership of our church wardens, our parish council, and with the joyful partnership of every member to proclaim Christ, to serve our community, and to witness to God's love for generations yet to come. Amen.